All right, good deal. So I'm here with Marsha Doran on WTJU. So Marsha, how did you first hear about the station?
How did I first hear about the station?
Yeah,
well,
how did you first get involved?
I had a friend who was doing radio in the Washington, D.C. area. His name is Surf Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good friend of mine. In fact, he gave me my very first lessons in how to be a DJ. I used to hang out with him at the studios of WHFS in Bethesda. And when I was accepted at Virginia, first thing I looked for was to see if there was a radio station that I could work at.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, there were two, WUVA and WTJU. And my friend Surf told me that he had a friend by the name of Pat Bolley at WTJU. So, of course, I went there first. And I walked in the air studio, and it just so happened, not the air studio, the lobby. That
mm-hmm.
was when TJU was in Humphrey's house dorm in the basement.
Oh.
And I walked into this scruffy lobby with a legless sofa on the floor and a bunch of posters on the wall. And there's this guy with hair out to his shoulders and down to his shoulders with huge glasses on. And he's and he's sitting on the sofa, and he said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm interested in working here." And my friend of mine told me that there's a guy named Pat Bolley, and he said, "Well, I'm Pat, and you must know Surf." And I said, "Yep." And that's how I started.
Good deal. All right. So now you became the rock director starting in the 70s, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was the rock music director from 76 to 77.
Uh-huh.
And then from 77 to 78, I was the co-program director with John Clem.
All right.
And then in 79, Harry Sleeper stepped down as program director, and I took over for him, and then I became the program director again in 1980. And then after that, I was simply the den mother. And they actually called me that.
Oh, man. What a nickname. So did you have a DJ name in addition to that?
Did I have a DJ name? Yes, it's
yes.
Spot. It still is Spot.
All yep. right. So now how did that come to be? Why did you decide on that?
Well, it's a long story that involves two friends of mine,
uh-huh.
a 1968 Camaro named Rosebud, a case of two-board beer, and a friend of mine who was, how shall I say this that would be appropriate for the airwaves, he was sampling the delights from the Hunter S. Thompson School of Pharmacology. You can look that up later and
right.
figure out what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
To say it was, yes, recreational substances that are not recognized as legal to this day. But at any rate, I was not. I was Lily Pure. but it, that night, that's when it all started.
Oh, man. What a story.
It was early 70s. Things like that happened all the time.
Yeah, for sure. So now, talking about music in the early 70s, what was sort of the rock scene like? And also, how did that factor into your work at TJU?
What was the rock scene like
yeah,
in the early
like,
70s?
Yeah, like from your perspective, what did WTJU play? And
what
Yeah.
Well, when I first got to TJU,
mm-hmm.
there was only two genres, classical and everything else. And we called it rock.
Right.
But we were playing the jazz coming out of the European ECM label, like Weather Report and Return to Forever and bands like that,
mm-hmm.
Keith Jarrett, et cetera, et cetera. We were also playing really avant-garde jazz, like Albert Eiler, of course, John Coltrane, et cetera.
Right.
Art Ensemble of Chicago. We were also playing really experimental, progressive art rock, Hatfield in the North, Slap Happy, Gong. Gong was a big favorite in its earliest incarnation. And we were playing a lot of blues, Furry Lewis, Little Walter, Howlin' Wolf. And of course we were playing other, more like the sort of New Orleans blues boogie sort of, Little Feat, Bonnie Raitt, The Meters. We were all over the map. I mean, everything. Bluegrass was in there. I think one of the very first times I tuned into WTJU, some guy was on the air playing Balinese Monkey Chant. And I loved it. I was like, I called him up and I was like, what is this? This is great. I don't know if you know about the Balinese Monkey Chants, but it's a Hindu ritual where men sit in concentric circles.
Really?
And they raise their hands up and they chant like monkeys. It's in tribute to the god Rama.
Wow.
Who was fleeing from an evil god, and the monkeys hit him in a forest. And anyway, that's where the monkey chants come from. So TJU was all over the place. And then I guess it was around 1975, 76, we finally decided to break rock into rock and jazz, just to sort of give people some sort of a semblance of what the heck they were going to be hearing when they turned on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So we developed a jazz department.
Nice.
And Mike High, otherwise known as Claude Williams, was, I think he might have been the first jazz DJ. And then Jahan Ramazani was, not DJ, jazz director.
Yeah.
And then there was Jahan Ramazani, who I believe is still a professor. But back then he was a student.
Wow.
Yeah, in fact, I sat in with him the first time he was on the air. The way we used to train DJs was we'd show them the airboard, and then their very first show they would be on from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And for some masochistic reason, I usually end up, not all the time, but I would often sit up with them to make sure they were okay for the first 2, 3, 4 hours.
Wow.
So that's how we did it. Back then, we were running 24 hours a day most of the time. And we had people doing what we call the graveyard shift, 2 to 6. And that's where first year everybody started out. My very first show was 2 to 6 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Well, you can make mistakes and it doesn't matter.
That's for sure.
And you've got a lot of time to practice.
That's nice. So now, while you were there, what was your biggest challenge? Like, besides trying to stay up from 2 to 6? But, like, was there a general, like, catastrophe or anything big that happened at TJU in your experience?
No, not really. I can't really think of any catastrophes.
Well, that's probably good.
No, I mean, that was second year. Second year, the airboard went out.
Oh, no.
And we were dirt poor back then, and we literally panhandled. panhandled for donations. And I remember that was second year, but it was at the very beginning of second year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had just gotten back into town, and they sent me down to the corner, and because Bobby Mincer from Mincer's Pipe Shop had said we could set up down there, and I think we were supposed to be doing a live broadcast, but of course our equipment wasn't working.
Right.
And so another new DJ by the name of Linda Brennan and I were told to just ask people for money. So we were literally standing in front of Mincer's Pipe Shop panhandling for money. That's how I got to know Linda, because we were both sort of befuddled.
Right.
But we did it. We got some money, and then after that, somebody got the bright idea of getting all these empty, unused Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And we went door to door at Lambeth Field and other places and begged for money.
Oh my goodness.
We finally got the air studio. We finally got the airboard, which was a good thing.
For sure. Wow, that is truly quintessential to TJU. Goodness.
Panhandling for the DJ.
Oh,
I was a
man.
teenage panhandler.
There you go. Claim to fame. So now you run the alumni program, WTJU in Exile, is that right?
No, I don't run it, but I was one of the co-founders.
All right. So now, how
Yes.
have you all stayed in touch?
How do we stay in touch?
Yeah.
Social media, telephones. We run, get together every now and then, whatever.
Yeah. Good deal. But the TJU tradition lives on, would you say?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Neat.
It's not so much wing it or prayer radio like it used to be,
Right.
but it's still got that rebel spark to it, which is, I think, great.
For
And
sure.
it's a great place to learn about the world. You know, if you
Yeah.
stop to think about it, the world is reflected in music and culture. TJU is so wide open. I learned an awful lot when I was there.
Yeah.
And I made some really cool friends too in the
Definitely.
process.
So now you work at NASA now, is that right?
Yes, I do.
So, how does TJU connect to that? Because, I mean, when you think of NASA, you don't necessarily connect it to rock music, but how did that prepare
Especially
you?
since my degree's in foreign affairs. I ended up at NASA because I had a degree in foreign affairs, and it was in the early 1980s, and there was a recession going on, and I was living in Charlottesville working at the legendary Back Alley Disc and Lena's Dance and TJU. And my friend Linda Brennan, who I panhandled with, she was an econ major, and she somehow got a job in the management office of a company that had a contract with NASA at the Goddard Space Flight Center.
All right.
And one day she sent me, she was doing sort of like budget work for them and project management work for them. Even though back then I don't think they called it project management, but that's basically what she was doing. And in 1982, she called me up one day and said, "I need a roommate and I can get you a job. Why don't you move up here?" And I thought about it, went up there, did the interview, and got a job with the same company. Pacer Systems, they had a support contract with the Goddard Space Flight Center to provide what they called project support, and sort of jack of all trades, master of none, budgetary, et cetera, type administrative support. So I got a job with them, and I'm still here. Pacer Systems is not. And now I'm a manager in the sciences area, and I manage 50 of my fellow contractors. So that's what I
Wow.
do.
Super cool. Good grief. So now, is there anything that I didn't mention about the station or anything you'd like to add?
I think the station is a gem, and it's an increasingly rare gem, and that's why the Exiles fought so hard in 2010, along with the city of Charlottesville and the current staff. That's why we all banded together and fought so hard to save the station in 2010, when we thought it was about to disappear in its current form. And I think it's a gem because it's unique. It's free form and it's multi-genre, and it gives, and nowadays with it being on the net, it gives the world a chance to experience music that they wouldn't necessarily otherwise know about. And I just think that's it's so important, and it is a treasure. And I hope to God the university continues to understand that about the station, because the station really is a gem.
Yeah.
So, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much. It's been lovely talking to you, Marcia.
Well, thank you, and it was great talking to you as well, and I guess I'll see you this weekend.
All right. See you then. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.